If I didn't love you so much.
The DivaCast, number 18, 6 October 2006. Hey, everybody! We are a group of five fun, fabulous friends, and I guess we're all a little bit over 40. What are you laughing at? What?
Just
okay,
Sharon's
her. Giggling. Okay, I'm Suzanne.
I'm Sharon.
I'm Amy.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Julie.
I
had to think
here.
About what was clockwise.
Okay.
I freaked you out, didn't I, when I said clockwise? Sorry.
Yeah. All right. We are here. We just finished up a photo shoot. And we look
damn good.
Yes. We thought our
photos. We're all dressed up with
good.
Nowhere to go.
That's right.
We're going.
Oh, no. We're having a diva
after
night.
No, we're not going out. I want to take my shoes off and plop.
You can take your shoes off at a restaurant.
Well, we're going to have a diva night at Sharon's, right?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay.
We need
Suzanne,
a diva night.
Suzanne, you and I are going out. We're going to go dance on the tables.
They're leaving us.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway.
It was fun.
Hey, Mark.
Are we going to put it on the website? Our pictures?
Our photos will be there. They should be there in, what, maybe a week or so?
Cool.
So everybody take a peek at them once they're up. But just check. Just keep on checking that
just
site.
Just know that I'm much skinnier than I look on the website.
Ditto.
And you can check out that nose that hasn't been broken.
Yeah. Come on, Julie, stop it.
Okay, first, before we get started, though, I do want to say that Robin, our producer, was at the Podcast Expo.
The man.
The man. And the good news is a lot of people knew who we were.
Thank you.
Is that exciting or
that's
what?
That's very exciting. So I want to thank our listeners. And tell them to keep listening.
Okay, is that surreal or what? Honestly.
It freaks me out.
I mean, come on.
I know. Robin handed our card out that said the DivaCast on them. And people are like, oh, you're with the DivaCast? Oh, my gosh. I love those guys. Is that just not
very
cool?
It's kind of freaky.
Did anyone say they wanted to start the Sharon fan club?
I think it was the Suzanne.
No.
Bless her heart.
Okay. All right. We need to take votes.
Just checking.
Bless their hearts.
Just
that's
checking.
That's all I got to say. All right, girls.
How's everybody's week?
Can I just give a big hallelujah today?
Hallelujah.
Can I hear a hallelujah from you, girls?
Yeah.
My husband broke his wrist. What is it now? 5 weeks ago? Because he took the boys skating. My boys play hockey, and one of them is playing ice hockey. And so they're doing the, quote, hockey stop, where you go, and you skid your skates out, and the ice flies up, and it looks really cool. So my husband thought that, golly, oh, look at all them. They're doing so good. That's easy. So he thought he'd try it. So he walks in at 11:30 at night and goes, honey, I think I need to go to the hospital. I shoot up in the bed and look at my boys, of course. Sorry, husband. And look at him. And he has gone. He did a face plant into the ice, has 4 stitches. His tooth went through his lip and he broke his wrist. So we've had various casts on. That was the man popping his beer, girls.
Oh.
Like, what is
excellent.
That?
He's trying to be discreet.
Excellent.
And but anyways, so now I've been living with a man in a cast. Can I just tell you?
Not
can
my
you
man
relate
in
to
a
me?
Cast. Your guy.
I said my man in a cast or a man in a cast because
any man
is a
in
man
a
in a cast the same as a man that's sick?
Oh God, no.
They're no wires. Offense, and no that's offense, the man, but
okay. Just
Suzanne,
close your ears, Robin.
Suzanne's been living with the man who's been sick since he came home from the expo.
And
I slit my wrist now.
I'm telling you what,
come on,
you know, and you know, God love you, Kurt, but. Bless his heart, he broke his right wrist, which he is right-handed, so he can't do a darn thing. So this has been a long freaking 5 weeks.
I bet.
You know what I'm saying? That's all. So hallelujah today. We get the cast
for you.
Off.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else have anything?
I do.
What?
Somewhat serious.
What?
I went last week for my annual.
Yeah.
And those words came out of my doctor's mouth.
What?
Oh, no.
I feel a lump.
Oh,
so,
you didn't share it.
No, I didn't tell anybody. So Friday, I call Thursday afternoon. I was like, okay, I need a mammogram. And they're like, is it diagnostic? I said, yes. They said, we'll see at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, well, no. And they said, okay, noon. So I went at noon. Doug happened to come with me. And as it turned out, it was just a cyst.
Yay.
So all is good.
Okay.
But For 24? I mean, that was, okay. It was a tough, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm having a real problem with, I'm just now finding this out.
Yeah.
Well, I did call you to see if you wanted to come to Atlanta with me.
Is that what that call was? Oh, you woman, I would have taken the day off.
I didn't get a call.
No, I'm going to Atlanta is a little different than I have a lump in my breast and I want you to go to the doctor.
No, here's the deal.
For God's sakes, woman.
Here's the deal. I am a slow processor. I take a little bit longer. And it was just, it was just surreal.
Yeah.
And it was just a fluke that actually Doug came with me. But as it turned out, by the way, it's a wonderful place. They gave you heated robes.
Yeah, they do that here.
It's very nice. And cute doctor.
Well, maybe that's a plus.
If my, he comes in and he's like, okay, well, it's just a complex cyst. So he said, we're going to aspirate it right now. And I said, well, when do I need to make an appointment?
He literally took
a syringe and pulled out the stuff. I was like, the liquid.
It's called
it's cancerous.
An FNA.
Is that what that does?
Yes. It's called an FNA, a fine needle aspiration.
Look at you. Okay.
And that tells them if it's cancerous or not?
Correct. Yes, they can tell that by the cells.
Right. And I was like, well, do I need to come back for an appointment? He's like, no, I can do it in 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay. And I will say this, the man kept eye contact with me the entire time.
Excellent.
Even though my right breast was hanging out open and I didn't realize till afterwards that I had not closed the front of my robe.
But, sorry.
It's just because he was cute.
You're cute. Oops. No.
Peek-a-boo. Sorry, what about the left? But it was clear. It was clear. Excellent. He didn't have to do a biopsy. So it was all good. But it was just a very,
tough 24, very sobering. Sharon.
Yes.
Okay. I'll kick your butt later. But
I have my first mammogram scheduled for the 13th.
First?
Friday
your
the
first
13th.
Ever?
I'm only 41. I'm a little bit late, but.
I got one at 35. I got a baseline.
No, they told me 40.
I got a baseline 35? At 35 or 38.
That's young.
It was 38.
Anyway,
I told Doug you didn't have to start.
I have to interject something here.
What?
You know, I wasn't here last time, and I noticed that Suzanne and I were not on the list to be called for this wine tasting thing, and I'm noticing that neither one of us were on the list to be called for this whole boob thing. And Suzanne, I have to tell you something. Amy and Sharon and Julie, do you know this? Went out to dinner with us the other night.
All right, you know what? This is really pissing me off. You know what? What is up with that? No explanation.
No. I'm just telling you, you and I, we're going to go do something.
You know what? Let's just leave these.
Y'all go to belly dancing every week.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, you
Carrie.
Go to belly dancing
by
yourself.
Okay, belly dancing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, we went to dinner with our friend Patty, who we love dearly. And she loves the DivaCast, but she's a friend of Amy and mine's from hockey, and we
she's
love
been having
her.
A really tough time.
Okay, you know what? I don't want an explanation.
Sharon disclaimers.
Sharon just
invited herself.
I did invite myself because 4th of July, I met Patty, and she said, come on. And then
you could have.
Sharon. Okay. And the other thing is, this whole decolage.
Listeners,
help us, please, because there's decoupage, there's décolletage, there's décolleté. We need some clarification.
What was the box that I was trying to think of?
Decoupage.
We need clarification on
Limoges.
Limoges. That is so funny.
I knew it was something French.
Décolletage is like a low, like a V-neck.
Yes.
Dress.
I didn't know that word.
We're talking about the space in between your breasts, your chest, your cleavage. And is it called décolleté?
And you're looking at me because mine looks especially tempting.
Very lovely.
You know, they look very lovely. And in the pictures, they will look gorgeous.
Okay. And the other thing is this.
Thank you.
I'm listening to us, and I have this little concern or this impression that we're coming across as being a little bit maybe superficial.
Us? Who, us?
Because we talk about, we're talking about aging gracefully. We're talking about vanity. We're talking
plastic
about this
surgery.
Yeah, all this plastic surgery talk. And I just want to set the record straight because we are actually
We're really deep.
We are very deep women. And I don't think that maybe it doesn't come across that we are. Mm-hmm. And that was a big reason why we got the divas together in the first place. I mean, I know for me, I was sick of all the surface crap
stuff
with all the other women. And then I'm listening to these diva casts and I'm like, dang, we're coming across. It's like, oh, I need to have the, you know, the best cream, the best this, the best that. And
the best cream?
Whatever cream. Amy was talking about some
we
face
still
cream.
Need that, even though we're
I thought you were talking about coffee.
I was lost for a second.
Okay, well, enough about me. What do you think of me?
Exactly.
Oh, no, I know.
I love that.
I agree, though. I agree. Sometimes we come across surfacey, but we do talk about deeper issues, and maybe we just need to explore them more on the DivaCast.
We're all very five spiritual women. We're all very spiritually grounded, some days more than others.
I know, but it doesn't necessarily come across.
Yeah, it may not come across.
But I ran across this article on, you know, Karen from Will and Grace. I cannot.
Oh, she is the funniest thing ever.
I know. She's got some talk show coming out, which I'm very excited about.
I like her.
But she,
is she the one with the weird voice?
The dark-haired one? Yes. Oh, my gosh. She's hysterical.
She's hysterical.
But can I read you this little quote that she had on self-esteem in Self Magazine?
Okay.
Yes.
She says, "The key to self-esteem is knowing who you are. Chasing an ideal is like being in one of those wave pools where you swim and swim and never get anywhere. Beauty is a wonderful thing, but there's beauty in imperfection, in relaxing and spending time with your family. You have to train yourself to think differently, not to beat yourself up and realize you've got better things to think about than having a fat day. Put on a bigger pair of pants and get out there." And I love that because it's like, you know, she's living in that whole LA.
In the midst of all that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I watch that show, too, I never thought, oh, she's the heavy one, or oh, she's, I just think she's so funny.
She's hysterical.
And she's beautiful.
She's brilliant.
I struggle with that, though. I can totally relate to that, because I struggle with that every day.
Struggle with what?
My self-esteem and how I look, and the comments people make, and the things that I've internalized.
Don't you think? I mean,
do you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think with age, I mean, I feel like with age and maturing that becomes a little less important. It's like important to me what people think, you know? And it's kind of like, you know what? I know people make judgments. We all make judgments, but it's kind of like, you know what? I'm doing the best I can do and I can't worry about it, you know?
I think I'm I think I am my own worst enemy.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we all are, aren't we?
Sometimes.
Sure. We see ourselves, I think, much more critically than perhaps others do.
Yes. We are our own worst critic.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you like improve your self-esteem?
And therapy.
How do you feel?
Lots and lots of therapy.
Well, and you know what? Honestly,
I can't afford it.
But you know what? It's very true. I think it is. Because I think not only through therapy, but then what you get out of therapy is suggestions and reading and like, because I grew up in an alcoholic home where a lot of times I didn't have the model parenting and I didn't have some of the things. And you discover is what I mean is you discover things through therapy. Mm-hmm. So you read books and you read studies and you explore those areas that you didn't develop as you grew up so that now you can be maybe healthier and not pass on those same things to my kids.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like trying to break the chain.
Yes.
You know what happened when I grew up or what happened? My parents did the best they could with what they had. I have no ill feelings there. But what I'm saying is, how do I stop that from passing that on to my kids? Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is to read, is to talk to other people who may have the same or similar problems or who I admire, maybe somebody who I admire and say, wow, how do you get like that? Or how do you do that? Or
who
whatever.
Who do you admire?
Me?
Yeah.
Admire how?
Well, I mean, that was part of our discussion for tonight, like who we admire and who has shaped us. And
is there anybody in your past that has really, does anybody have a mentor or anything like that?
I've had different mentors for different venues of my life. Mm-hmm. So as far as learning how to be a therapist or to be present with that,
right.
you know, maybe different mentors. But don't you think you have different people? It's the different people for different seasons.
I do. I mean, I know my aunt, I look at my aunt and uncle, they are, to me, have the most amazing marriage that I've ever seen. Like, that's something that I want to.
So she's kind of your mentor for marriage.
She doesn't know that, but I just look at them. They've been married like over 50 years, and they just are very spiritual people, and they're just awesome the way they treat each other. So in love still to this day. And so that's something that's, for me, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, well, I don't have any specific names of women in history or whatever, but the people that tend to stick out to me are the ones that have gone through a bad situation and have turned it into a positive. Mm-hmm, like, right. Suzanne, you are one of those people to me with your cancer. That, to me, I think before you had cancer and before my brother broke his neck and was paralyzed. And when he came out, when he went through that situation, he just did not accept that I'm going to be paralyzed. You did not accept, okay, I've got cancer that's rare. It does not look good. I'm going to be dying. It was like, you just were very positive. And both of you guys have, I think if I went through a situation like that, I'd have a different outlook than I would have had I gone through something like that prior.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, thank you. I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, I was doing a recording at the CDC, a meeting that I was doing, and it was a big vaccine summit, and it was really interesting. This woman, you know, there was a bunch of scientists and doctors, and they're talking about a vaccine for influenza, and she got up in front of all these people, and it was like a pin could have dropped and you wouldn't have heard a thing. And she got up and talked about how her baby had gotten the flu. And she didn't have any, you know, she had no idea that she should have gotten this baby vaccinated and all the things that could have happened. Her baby died. Mm. And I mean, as a mom, I was like, wow. You know, she took this horrible experience and she stood up in front of all like 250 people to fight to get people educated on the fact that they need to vaccinate their kids. And to me, that's a cool thing. There's a lot of different situations like that. There's different actresses and people out there that have gone through.
She didn't wallow in it.
No.
You know, at the high school I work at, we had, you know, with the Columbine, Rachel, it's called Rachel's story or Rachel's whatever. Right. Her family comes and speaks to everybody, and they do a whole slide presentation on the whole Columbine thing. And then about her and how she was so spiritual and how she believed in God. And she was the one who said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And he shot her. And I'm telling you, it probably got me worse than half the kids sitting there because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, if that was my daughter, I'd be so proud of her. But oh my God, I looked at that family and just went, way to go. I mean, people like that inspire me that don't wallow in their self-pity, because I don't know if I could be that good. I mean, I always hope that if something horrible happens to me, I would be able to suck it up and
but
focus in a positive way.
But did you see the people with the Amish people with this recent tragedy? Yeah. That's where I used to live in Lancaster. Mm-hmm. And that is a totally, I mean, they're very unique people. Yes. And I mean, even before the sun, I guess the sun set, but it was like 9 o'clock. The family showed up at the family's house, the murderer's family's house, and offered them forgiveness. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, wow.
And they invited the wife, the widow of the murderer, to the funeral and asked
that's
her
awesome.
To come. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, that's the epitome right there.
Yeah,
definitely.
I don't know. It's just tough. I think that there are times when we all, something touches our heart, and then we just feel that pull, maybe. I don't know.
I agree. I think it's the utmost person that can find forgiveness or forgive someone when they've done something. And, I mean, you take it to a very superficial, I mean, the whole road rage phenomena. I mean, these are people who are willing to cut people off or shoot them or do whatever. Driving. I mean, could you imagine the reaction if they ever really had something
really bad
happen? Yes. We need to get back in touch with some of the basics, I think. And the Amish, I think, showed everyone nationally how it's supposed to be.
I agree.
They don't want us to get all heavy and like,
I know. I'm feeling sad now.
No, I don't want it to be heavy.
Well, but it's real. I think we need the balance, you know, of talking about these serious things, because these are truly life. It's in the media. It's in the news. It's in our face. And then to come back with something light and, you know, it's all good.
I think it's
where are
important.
We going to dinner?
Well,
that's an important.
Yeah, let's talk about real stuff here.
No, I do think, though, it's important sometimes to put into perspective that you really don't have control. I think people still believe they have control over their lives and what happens to them, and you really don't. And your life can change
in a heartbeat.
And I just think, you know, sometimes you got to live life.
And, well, I think you learn from every tragedy, too.
Right, right.
I don't know. That kind of reminds me of when my husband was diagnosed with cancer. And it was just a real bizarre kind of situation where he ended up having stomach issues. And then it started going up his arm. I thought he was having a heart attack. And so we went to the emergency room. They did a chest x-ray and they did all this stuff. And it was nothing. He didn't have any heart issues or anything. And they thought it was just like a GI kind of issue. And they were like, go take some laxative and be done with it, you know. And we were like, fine, let's go home. And a couple of days later, they called up and they said, there's something on the chest x-ray that we took just as a, you know, a typical kind of thing that they do. And it ended up being a mass and it ended up being Hodgkin's disease, but it just was such a God thing in my opinion. And
how so, Amy?
Well, it was, I really feel like that finding was just so bizarre in that they wouldn't have seen that. I mean, he wasn't having symptoms secondary to the cancer.
He's young.
Yeah, he was, what, 30?
He's healthy. He's not a smoker. You said it was in his lung. That you never
would
have.
Well, it wasn't in his lung. It was in his mediastinum, which is in the middle of his, it's in his chest cavity.
But he wouldn't have gone in for something.
No, he was having no symptoms secondary to that. But, you know, it's just like, oh, by the way, there's a mass. We found this. I just really think that God put him in that situation to go to the emergency room for this other, by the way, kind of situation thing. And then they found it. And so, you know, thankfully, it was a stage one kind of cancer situation. And
he's
healthy.
Did
the chemo and the radiation. And knock on wood, life has been good. But, I mean, that really, you know, we were spiritual, you know, prior to that happening. I mean, we went to church and things like that, but that just took it to the next level.
Right.
You know, that tragedy, that really kind of changed things. And
how do you feel, though? I mean, it's like you go through, I mean, I was thinking about this and I think, well, when you, unfortunately, I'm the kind of person, I go along and until some kind of crisis whips me in the butt, then
we
I'm
all
like,
do. We all do.
I know. And it stinks. And I wonder, you know, I know that's been about what, 5 years?
More than that.
Seven
years?
It was
probably
six.
Because you know what, you guys? The October 4th was the 6-year anniversary of my surgery.
And okay. I've been here 9, Amy. So it was,
when he
we
was
had started
before.
The Mons Group 9 years.
That was your 5th year?
Was my sixth year.
Six. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because I was diagnosed in June of 2000, and David was a year before me.
So 7 years?
Seven years.
For your husband, yeah.
Wow. I mean, so that's just, I mean, that puts your, you know, your mortality and your face and all that and what's in your perspective and everything. But I mean, Suzanne, do you feel like, is that always so paramount in your, is it in your face?
The cancer thing?
Well, just, I mean, how precious life is and all that. You want to have
what?
That perspective.
I mean, I wish I could say yes. It was more so before, but unfortunately, you know, as you start to heal and get better.
Well, and you get
I'm
caught
right
up
back,
in everyday
oh
life.
Oh my gosh, I'm so caught up in the minutiae. You know, I actually feel I am not as grounded spiritually as I was when I was going through my cancer.
Yeah.
Then I was so much more grounded and I felt so much more connected to God.
Yeah.
And now I'm just back to losing my temper over stupid stuff. I'm not as grounded
well,
as I
was.
Well,
it's almost like that thing when, you know, when you're in crisis and when you really call out and you reach and you search for that relationship when you want it to be all the time. But in reality, you know, it's like, it's easy to, it's got to be a conscious choice. So I know what you're saying.
But it's difficult. Yeah. And it's the whole discipline
hard.
Thing that I have such an issue with and being committed. It's like, if I don't pray every single day or do a devotional.
But don't
or whatever,
you feel, I feel like I pray all the time.
I do. I have conversations with God. I mean,
all
I do.
The time.
I feel like I have that relationship, but there's a difference in being disciplined and opening up the Bible or whatever your thing is and really, you know, focusing and meditating or praying or whatever.
To me,
it is.
Though, I just want to say to me, I don't know. To me, it doesn't have to be disciplined about opening up the Bible. To me, it's just communing with God. I think God just wants to hear from me and for me to communicate with him.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, because I feel like with me personally, I can be in a time frame in my life where I do that daily, every hour, every, you know, or I am so wrapped up in whatever's going on that I just don't. And then I realize, wow. And you know what, Julie, it's funny because you know that women's retreat we go on every January? It always seems to like hit at the right time for me. It always like sets me back, gives me, you
reprioritizes
know,
us. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I count listening to Christian music as praying.
No, that's a way of worshiping.
I do. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't like Christian music so much.
It is bubblegummy, I know.
I'd rather
it just depends
like
on
the,
who it is.
The, you know, the rock and roll, and I was just listening to the Talking Heads.
I love the Talking
Heads. I prefer them.
It just depends on who it is. And it depends on my mood, I think.
Yeah. I resonate
you know,
with that.
If I'm walking in the morning, sometimes I like to hear a little praise and worship. If I'm not, sometimes I like a little rock and roll. You know me, I'm the 70s queen, man.
Yeah.
Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like if you listen to praise music, it puts you in that time, in
right
that place.
It starts the
I
connection.
I like it in church, but I don't like it anyplace else.
I can't
else.
Do it. I can't yeah, do it all the time. I gag
you know
on
why?
It.
Because there's some really cool music, but there's some really bubblegummy.
That's
repetitive.
What it is. It's like, yeah. Over-processed.
Yeah. I just love the yeah.
But you know why? It's playing in my car 9 times out of 10 is because my kids are in the car.
Right.
And I turned on, Sharon, you brought this up in a previous podcast. I turned on my car this morning to take carpool. It's my day to drive carpool. I turn on the thing and she goes, you know what's on everybody's mind 9 times out of 10? Sex. Well, I've got 5 kids in the car and I'm like, I mean, right, I hit right. and turn the radio off because I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get in a sex talk with a third grader or kindergarten. I mean, right, it's just
right,
like,
right. Angel, you would like Lifehouse. They're spiritual and
Lifehouse?
Cool.
Life.
Yeah. Life.
Lifehouse.
There's a lot of different bands.
You guys
got to
give me some information.
Yeah.
Give me
well,
sure.
And a lot of it's fun and they have fun doing it and whatever.
Does anybody sound like the Talking Heads?
They all do.
There's some heavy, girl, there's some heavy metal.
You would yeah. trip out. Yeah. The Crowder Band? Oh my gosh.
I would trip out.
You really trip. Would. I mean, you would be, no, not trip out, but I think you'd be shocked at how
Take
heavy.
Take a little Paxil before you.
I don't know that drug.
What is Paxil? I don't,
that's an antidepressant.
Happy pill. Yeah, it's a happy pill.
I need to start taking some happy pills.
I do too. I
think I just need, you know what I need? I need like a wake up pill because
you've got Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's your wake up
pill. Yeah, but I need to quit doing like caffeine all the time.
Hey, what about that Splenda stuff with the coffee?
Oh,
digging that. Splenda. Hey, you know what? I just want to tell everybody that this show has been sponsored in part by Splenda. They are introducing 3 new flavors, and it's really transforming your coffee. One is mocha, which is my personal favorite. One is French vanilla, and one is hazelnut.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very cool. So you can go check out their website at www.destinationflavor.com. You know what? And I guess they're also open to suggestions and feedback at telephone number 206-600-4539. So you can leave comments, suggestions, and or any of your favorite recipes. So I really want to start making, you know, the holidays are coming up. So I'm thinking about using these different flavor packs for Christmas recipes.
Well, and it's so nice to make it easy.
Mm.
Well, you know, instead of adding 75 things.
I'm into easy.
I just want to say that I'm pretty excited about this because I actually clipped their coupon. I was going to go buy some because...
Is it coupon or coupon?
It's coupon if you're in South. It's coupon if you're a Yankee.
It's coupon. And
she's a
coupon.
Southerner.
No. Now I don't even know what the word is. Anyway, because I drink those flavored creams and they're really high in sugar and calories. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to watch my weight. So this is perfect timing. I'm very excited about trying the hazelnut.
Very exciting.
That's going to be mine.
Yeah, with my coffee. Let us know. Keep us posted.
I will.
You keep us posted. Hey, Carrie, did we get an email?
Get an email? Yeah, you know what? I want to say thank you to Jonathan because, Jonathan, I think you sent us about 4
different comments about he's how like, to improve.
He's the man.
I know.
He's on it.
Jonathan. You know what? Our man needs to just watch out because that man is
moving in.
And I have
in.
To say, Jonathan is a very sexy name. I like it.
I like it.
It's almost like Nathan. You remember Nathan?
No, stop it. Stop it.
Hey, oh, Nathan was our waiter who passed out his card and said he'd do anything for the divas.
Ooh. Anyway, thank you very much, Jonathan, for all your tidbits.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, you know what? Jonathan emailed us, and so you can too, at diva@thedivacast.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voice. 678-884-0524. But just tune into our website, you guys. I don't guess you tune into a website. I guess you
check us out.
There you go.
Log
www. And see, I say that very Southern. www.thedivacast.com.
That's all one word.
That's all one word.
Scrunched together.
It's squished together. So you guys click on there and like go through the website, and we're going to have some new pictures put up, and we're going to have a new format, and there's exciting things happening. So while you pour your Splenda in your coffee and you listen to us, you can check out our website and see our pictures and think that I'm the skinny one.
Oh, sorry for that.
Okay, Suzanne, you weren't supposed to laugh that hard. It wasn't that funny.
Thanks also to Natalie Brown for her music, and it's available at music.podshow.com for our opening song.
We love The Queen of Me.
That's right, and we're going to close with some new music from Whitney Steele. It's called Stumble.
We love Whitney Steele.
Yes. Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you, Whitney.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
We're going to a diva night. We'll check you next time.
We're going to dinner.
Maybe we'll have some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately.
Suzanne might be dancing on the table.
Woohoo! Oh, we can't say woohoo.
Oh, you're the one who said not to say
it. Because it sounds so hick. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Say woohoo on the table tonight.
I might be saying woohoo.
Nice and slow, if you just let go. The wind might blow you right back to me. 'Cause I'm all alone, and I want you to know that I miss you and the way you made me feel. All the things I should have said were always running through my head, but I'd stop.
Get this podcast and more great ones like it on the High Performance Podcast Delivery Network from Podshow and Limelight Networks.
Ooh, I love it.